everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. As always, this is a wonderful opportunity to get empowered with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible. And these are opportunities to have wonderful in-depth conversations with people who have great experience, wisdom, and a depth of understanding that will benefit all of us. And as always, I love these shows because I learn as much as anyone else is learning. Before we talk about the wonderful topic and subject that really will have a huge impact on all our lives, I want to just remind everyone that you can visit my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, and you can opt in there because if you opt in and join my list, then you will be sent to special reports, and you also will be sent the archives of this radio show, which goes out every week. And you also have access to a range of articles that are freely available on my website. So there's lots of fantastic educational material. And then if you are into the Facebook universe, I invite you to go over to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, because there I have the opportunity to list all sorts of articles and tips and solutions to a variety of issues. Sometimes I find some awesome recipes, and it's just a great place where I can keep sharing information. So two great places to go, and you can never get enough of really good information. So hope you'll take advantage of it. Well, let's talk about the topic at hand today. You know, we are into fall. We're close to the equinox. That's coming up rapidly, and there is always something special that happens at the times of the equinox when it comes to our health. And we're going to talk about what this time of year is all about, the opportunity it presents us to incorporate strategies that will empower us for the rest of the year, support our health, and get in harmony and balance with the rhythms of the earth as we are turning the wheel to another season. And to help us understand just what the gift is of this season is my guest and dear friend, Angelo Druda, who is a certified practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine. He is a master Chinese herbalist, a man of great wisdom who embodies the way of traditional Chinese medicine. And I have invited Angelo many times to be on the show because he keeps us in tune and aligned with the seasons and the energies that are happening within us and around us so we can create greater harmony and balance and well-being. And I also want to say Angelo is the author of a fantastic book called The Tao of Rejuvenation, which I highly recommend for all those of us who are really interested in rejuvenation and who isn't. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Angelo Druda to the show today. Hello, Angelo.
Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good. I'm always looking forward to our conversations because I find them very enlightening. As you know, I have a certain predisposition to traditional Chinese medicine. I find it to be such a profound system of learning and healing and just a wisdom that lets us stay in balance within ourselves throughout the seasons, throughout our lifetime. So it's just fun having these conversations with you, Angelo.
Oh, good, good. I agree. I have that predisposition myself.
So I was talking about the very special opportunity that comes during the times of the equinox, or in this case, we're talking about the what would you call it, the late summer. It's certainly late summer where I am. It's, you know, 90 degrees here. Maybe dipping down to 80 this weekend, so we haven't quite hit what I would call autumn yet.
Well, that's right.
So tell us about this time of year.
Well, it's true what you're saying. I mean, there is two seasons here that we can take note of and work and prepare our bodies according to the seasonal cycle of rejuvenation that comes out of traditional Chinese medicine. there is late summer, and in this time of ever-increasing global climate change, where I'm sitting, it's pretty much the same story. It actually feels very much like the middle of summer, but it's late summer, and as we move forward, it's quite possible, and it seems clear that late summer may become more and more of a significant seasonal event than it actually has been in the past. And so we have late summer, and then we have autumn, and of course, winter comes after autumn. So the ancient Chinese masters really created a cycle of rejuvenation to treat the body, to rejuvenate the body according to what cycles the body was actually in, what season the body was in. So if we look at late summer and we look at autumn, in late summer, this was traditionally the time in which we would give our attention to the spleen energy in the body. And then autumn would be the time that we would typically give our attention to the lung energy in the body. And there's a beautiful little logic there, because the spleen energy supports the lung energy. And so in late summer, we give our attention to the spleen energy. We strengthen the spleen energy. And by strengthening the spleen energy, then we see we're already strengthening and working to rejuvenate the lungs. And then by virtue of doing the work in late summer of rejuvenating the spleen energy, and by virtue of doing the work of rejuvenating the lung energy in autumn, then we have prepared the body for what is typically a rather dramatic shift that winter is. I mean, if you think about what the body has to adapt to in the middle of summer and you compare it to what the body has to adapt to in the middle of winter, they're quite dramatic and they're quite different. So by working in late summer, strengthening the spleen, working in the autumn, strengthening the lungs, then the body is fully prepared to deal with the cold and the kinds of changes and the kinds of potential imbalances that really are possible during the cold season. So yes, it's late summer here too, and it's warm and sunny, and so late summer is a time to work with the spleen, treat the spleen.
So just to clarify, what is the time of late summer, and when does autumn begin, or how do we make those distinctions?
Well, you talked about the equinox, and, you know, the equinox is certainly an astronomical indicator. Certainly the autumnal equinox is a good time. So really, late summer is always been considered a little bit shorter season, a kind of pseudo-season, if you will. It's really that time in September where things get very quiet. The intense heat of the summer has abated. It seems to be a rather quiet time, a time to consolidate energy, a time to relax, a time to kind of begin to cool down the expansive, young, fiery energy of the summer. And so we can pretty much safely consider the month of September in the Northern Hemisphere to be late summer. And then, yes, from October on, we can consider it autumn, because really what's determining these changes, these seasonal changes, is really the angle of the sun's rays. It's really primarily the change in the angle of the solar radiation hitting the Earth and hitting our bodies. And so even though you see it could be a rather warm winter, the body's still going to go through the kinds of climate changes, the kind of seasonal changes, just by virtue of the change in the sun's angle of the sun's rays. So late summer, pretty much September, and then autumn pretty much proceeds to that long, dark day, December 21st, the beginning of winter, which is a whole different thing from the middle of summer.
Right. So why is it that this time of year, this late summer, and we're kind of at the end of that season, it sounds like, before autumn starts, where the change of temperature is, the light changes, there's a whole different shift that's going on. Why is this considered a good time to do detoxification?
Well, it's a good time to detoxify as long as there is a sufficient warming effect still coming from the sun, because detoxification approaches. Detoxifying the body tends to cool the body, tends to cool the body down. So according to traditional considerations, as long as it's warm, as long as there's an abundance of sunlight, and you see the body is being sustained by that warmth, the body is being sustained by that sunlight, and that sunlight is principal food for the body, absolutely principal food for the body. So as long as there is an abundance of sunlight, that principal food, as long as there is significant warmth still in the environment, then it's a good time to detoxify the body. And the body will be supported in these kinds of cooling endeavors. Whereas if you're in the middle of winter and it's cold outside, and the kidney energy and the spleen energy in the body is receiving very little help from the environment, there's not an abundance of sunlight, there's not an abundance of vitamin D coming through, then to begin the process in the middle of winter to detoxify the body and cool the body down even more, sometimes it's not the best strategy. Sometimes people do it. Sometimes it has to be done. But in general, the optimal time to detoxify is, and I know it's a time I personally prefer to do my most intensive detoxification regimes, I prefer it during the warm summer months because I feel the body feels so supported just by nature itself.
You know, I think that's such an important point, that there are times of the year where we can take advantage of the temperature and the energies of the planet to support our bodies in detoxifying. But on the other hand, there are times of the year where we don't really want to do any intensive detoxification if we want to get the best benefit, because I guess it could stress the system out and make us more vulnerable. Like wintertime, you would not recommend doing any significant kinds of detoxification protocols during the, you know, during the darkest, coldest times of the year. Is that right?
Well, in general, yes. I mean, if somebody is very toxic and that toxicity is causing dis-ease, then they need to do something. But they need to be very conscious and they need to be very sensitive to how they go about that matter.
Right.
I mean, even let's say, for example, someone's going to do an abundance of raw fruit and vegetable juices. Well, those raw fruit and vegetable juices are extremely cooling. So the more you put those juices in, and the more perhaps you limit cooked food, the more you're actually cooling the body down. And so the kidney fire, quite naturally, the kidney fire is going to get lower in the winter. Again, that kidney fire in the body, the basal metabolic fire, the basic life fire in the body, is absolutely affected by the environment that it's in. And so in the winter when it's dark and you're only getting a certain amount of hours of sunlight, well, that's a reduced nourishment to the kidney fire compared to July in the northern hemisphere. And then just the temperatures themselves are cooler, so the kidney fire gets less support from the environment. And then consequently, what do we start to see in the winter months? Cold, the word itself tells you the name of the disease. People catch cold. In other words, cold, which will be a life-saving application in the summer, too much cold in the winter, you see, can cause a disease.
You know, I always find that so fascinating, that wisdom from traditional Chinese medicine really understands there's a season for everything, and to optimize our health, we really want to work in harmony with these energies, in harmony with the seasons. And I've certainly learned a lot about working in harmony with the season, with my diet, and, you know, kinds of exercises I want to do, the kinds of foods I want to eat with different, you know, with the seasons. So the time that we're in right now is one of the best times to do some sort of detoxification program. And it's always recommended to do some sort of detoxification in your yearly cycle. So the next question I want to ask, Angelo, is, you know, what kind of detoxification program do you think is the best, or which ones do you recommend? You know, there's so many ways to detoxify. Are they all appropriate? Are certain things, certain ways, certain protocols more effective, more appropriate for certain periods of time? What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think there are many ways to detoxify, and they are really determined by several factors. Number one, the main factor to take into account is the constitution of the person who wants to detoxify. So you have to take into the strength of the constitution. You have to take in the age of the person. How strong are they? How much of an abundance of energy is there in the body? So really the main thing to take into account when a person begins to detoxify is, who is the person? And what is the state of their health? What is the state of their bodily energy? If there is a great abundance, if they're strong, if they're young, if the temperature is in general pleasant, warm, and supporting, then people like that can fast. They can just, you know, abstain from food and just go over onto a liquid diet of juices and just cleanse the body that way. I mean, when we talk about detoxification, it's really a very simple principle, detoxification. You simply stop putting the toxins into the body, and that's detoxification. I mean, do not put those toxins in anymore. And then you can determine the degree of how intensely you will approach that detoxification based on all the various factors that we're talking about here. So if someone is pale and weak and cold and petite, we wouldn't necessarily say, look, why don't you go do a 30-day fast on fruit juices and water? That just looks like it's not going to be the way. That would not be probably a wise move, because another thing for people to keep in mind is that when we detoxify the body, we are not only detoxifying toxins, but to some degree we're also pushing out some of the good things, energy and vitamins and minerals. So we have to be very judicious and sensitive, again, to the time of the year, what is the situation, what is a person trying to achieve. I prefer to save those deep, strong cleanses for the late spring and the early summer. I love to, you know, when the temperature goes up, I can just live on watermelon for a week or two and do a very significant cleanse of toxicity, of inflammation, and it's fine. But the minute the temperature drops down to a certain level, I have no interest in eating watermelon at all. So the temperature, the season, it all affects the nature of the detoxification. Here in late summer, people could abstain from eating for a few days. They could be doing juices and smoothies full of green vegetables. They could be doing herbal tea detoxifications. They could make use of colonic therapy and these kinds of things. And then they could just move back into a diet full of good fruits, vegetables, high-quality foods. And in a matter of a week, they could have effected a very good cleansing of the body and really beginning to do this work of preparing the body for the wintertime.
You know, there was a study that was done that was examined the levels of bisphenol A, which is a chemical that leaches out of plastic bottles. It's in dental sealants. It's in the lining of tin cans. And they looked at, they had two groups of people looked at these two categories. And, you know, one group just ate a traditional diet out of the supermarket. And they had really, really high, I think both groups did actually, and they had really, really high levels of bisphenol A, the mothers, the fathers, the kids. And then they put them on an organic vegetable, organic food diet just for a week, just for a week. And there was significant reduction in bisphenol A in the blood of those people at the end of the week. So that was just eating an organic diet, not changing anything other than they were not putting any more toxic chemicals and pesticides and canned foods and, you know, the chemicals that leach out of canned foods into their bodies. In 1 week, they had a massive reduction. It shows you what's possible in a very short period of time just by doing some simple things of cleaning up the diet, just changing over from organic, you know, from commercial supermarket foods to organic foods.
And it's a critical point because people hear of detoxification and then they'll hear somebody that did this dramatic and long fast and they immediately, you know, I can't do that, so there's nothing that I can do. This is a very critical point. It can be as simple as just changing over to organic food from manufactured food, and just stop putting in the toxins. That means you can continue to eat delicious food, you can continue to have delicious meals, and you have affected a very significant detoxification. So it's a critical point that you're making, and it's true. People can do all kinds of things, and there are very gentle things that people can do. I mean, people can drink herbal cleansing teas between meals and affect a rather good cleansing of the blood supply in the body just by drinking several cups of tea during the day. If you want to go further than that, yeah, throw out the manufactured foods. Now you're increasing your cleansing. You want to go further than that? Okay, skip a meal and just do raw juices. And you can stop right there. And you a cleanse like that could actually be sustained over a period of weeks. Dramatic impact on the health. I mean, you know, the whole system of naturopathic medicine was essentially founded on the observation that if you can stop putting toxins in the body and help the body get the toxins out, people get well. I mean, you know, so it's a critical point you're making, and it's important for people to know there's all kinds of things that they can do.
So one of the other things I want you to just help enlighten us about, when we talk about our detoxification process or detoxification pathways, so you can detoxify from the liver, from the kidneys, from the gut. Can you just help explain those different pathways and just, you know, some suggestions of things that can help support those pathways?
Well, all pathways lead to the blood. And that's really, when we're talking about detoxification, we're talking about effective detoxification. Effective detoxification is going to change the quality of the blood supply in the body. Sooner or later, all the toxins that enter the body find their way into the bloodstream. And now the toxins are flowing around the body in the bloodstream. The bloodstream is circulating around the body, bringing oxygen and nourishment to the cells. Well, now it's also bringing some of those toxins into the cells. The blood is also carrying out waste material, carbon dioxide. So ultimately, we want our detoxification regime to affect the change in the blood. Toxic blood, it tends to thicken. The flow of toxic blood is inhibited and suppressed. And the more the blood supply is not freely flowing, then the higher the risk potential for obstructive cardiovascular disease. So the blood supply, we want to keep as clean as possible. The more toxins begin to deposit in the blood supply, the more the body's own inflammatory system begins to react to those toxins. And now, you see, we have all these patterns of inflammation in the body. So ultimately, detoxification pertains to the blood. But you're right, there's a lot of ways to affect that change, and there are key organs in, through which detoxification can be enacted. The liver is one of them. The liver is a critical organ relative to blood filtration. So people can do liver detoxification regimes, and there's just a host of things from liver flushes. There are an abundance of medicinal herbs that are such powerful and profound liver cleansers from all of the great herbal medical traditions from the East and the West. There's so many of them that just by virtue of ingesting these herbs, they cleanse the liver. They begin to establish a regenerative process in the liver almost immediately. Green vegetables, these raw, green, organic vegetables, the kales, you know, the Swiss chards, the vegetables like this are powerful liver and blood cleansers. And so, yes, we can do liver cleanses, and we're not only cleansing the organ itself, but we're cleansing then the blood that passes through the organ. Bowel cleansing, I mean, we talk about colonic therapy. It's been in existence for a long time. Again, you know, we're cleaning out these systems in the body that then have an impact on the blood, and they have an impact on cleansing out the lymphatic system in the body. But ultimately, we want that blood supply to be pure. We want the blood supply to not thicken. We want our blood to be freely flowing. We want it to be clean. And we want the pH of the blood to be right around 7.3 to 7.4, which is more or less the perfect pH balance for the blood. And there has been research done, and many, many health practitioners that will tell you that if you can actually maintain the blood pH at 7.3 to 7.4, you'll never get cancer. That cancer and so many degenerative diseases thrive in an acidic environment. They thrive in a blood toxic environment. But if you maintain blood alkalinity around 7.3, 7.4, then the body will thrive, and the body will be in a position to fight off these degenerative tendencies. So liver detoxification, people can do bowel cleansing, it can be done through herbal cleanses, it can be done through dietary changes and using an abundance of green. Green is the energy put in nature to affect this cleansing. And and people, you know, my point of view, as you well know, is people should live every day, eat good food, practice right living, and do your detoxification every day by abstaining from the poisons that are sold to us every day in the guise of fun and delicious games of all kinds. But know that these things are poison, and they have a dramatic impact over time.
Well, we're about to take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about some of the herbs or foods that help with liver. I just started today a liver gallbladder flush, my first. We can talk about that. We can talk about coughing enemas. And we can talk about some other strategies that people may want to incorporate or just give a try to, because everyone could really benefit from a good little cleanse every now and then.
I like it.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know with my special guest today, Angelo Druda, and we're talking all about cleansing and detoxifying for this time of the year, time of late summer. And we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today, we're talking about detoxing and how to really support the body to heal, rejuvenate, and stay in balance with the energies of the season and the planet. And to help us understand the purpose and the benefit of detoxing, my special guest today is Angelo Druda, who is a Chinese herbal practitioner and a wise elder with Chinese medicine. So we're talking all about the perspective, the Chinese medicine perspective of cleansing and detoxifying and its role in our health and well-being. And it really does have a major role in our health and well-being, doesn't it, Angelo? Taking little time and giving our body a break from exposure to lots of toxic substances, which, of course, surrounds us on a daily basis.
Well, it has a monumental impact on our health. I mean, so many of the diseases that are being treated by the medical systems in the West nowadays are diseases of toxicity. They are modern diseases caused by excess toxicity and insufficient detoxification.
Well, I said before the break that I actually have embarked upon a cleanse. I thought it's time to do a little detoxing for me, and since this is such a great time of year.
Let's hear about that flush, yeah.
Yeah, so I've never done this before, but it's called a gallbladder cleanse, a gallbladder flush, a liver flush, a liver gallbladder flush. It has a lot of different names, but basically it's helping to support helps the liver, and particularly is helping to release whatever buildup of stones or calcifications there may be in the gallbladder, which blocks those ducts, those bile ducts. So it impedes the functioning of the liver as well. And in my research about it, it said that it actually originated from the Mediterranean area, from way back. It's been a traditional way to help the body, and it's a very simple approach. Basically, you do 3 or 5 days. I'm doing 3 days on preparing the body by ingesting a lot of apple juice. There's some other things you can add to it to help soften whatever stones may be there. And I guess we all have stones, don't we? It seems that most people do.
Most people have some degree of gravel in these organs. If you're older than 10.
And then what happens after you prepare the body, then you do, I think it's half a cup of good quality of olive oil, and you take it down with, you can add some pineapple juice or grapefruit juice. It just basically helps take down the olive oil. And then you go to bed, and you lie on your right side, and in the morning there is expulsion of all these stones. And people who've done this, or gravel or whatever, you know, depending on what's going on with people, people who are feeling some indications that their gallbladder is a little congested or inflamed, sometimes they have pain. Where would you find that gallbladder pain, Angelo?
Where would you find it?
When people have gallbladder issues, where does the pain often refer to?
If there's something present like gallstones, it's usually going to be right where the gallbladder is located.
Okay.
Or a pain in the liver gallbladder area. I mean, it can extend further down, but typically, if there's something like gallstones present, the pain will be localized somewhere in the area of the gallbladder.
So the ingestion of this olive oil rapidly, and then sleeping and lying down on the right side, stimulating that liver gallbladder, helps to really open it up and flush out whatever gravel may be there, which does cause congestion in these organs. And people who've done this have experienced such an improvement of energy, of clarity. They just feel like their, liver issues and gallbladder issues can impact our thinking. You could have more headaches. You can just feel lethargic. You can have allergies. I mean, there's so many things related to a congestion of the liver, gallbladder system. Have you ever done one of these before?
I have done these. This is a traditional technique, and there's various recipes. You are doing more of the gallbladder flush than the liver flush.
Mm-hmm.
there are gentler versions that actually are more cleansing to the liver. But as you increase the oil content, then you increase the process of actually causing the gallbladder to flush stones. So you're doing more of a classic clear and flush out stones and calculi and gravel from the gallbladder. Very, very effective. It's been around for a long time, and it has saved many, many people from surgery, that one.
Well, I'll let you know how it goes. But I just feel like I wanted to do something. It's pretty easy to do because the preparation is just having about 4 8-ounce glasses of I use organic apple juice, and I put some phosphoric acid in there, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But the other really very effective and sometimes maligned approach to doing some liver detoxification is the coffee enema. Can you talk a bit about that?
It's maligned? Who's maligning coffee?
Well, people laugh about it. They think it's, you know, hogwash or...
Laugh about it because it's an enema, and I guess that leads itself to chuckles of some kind. The coffee enema, as far as we can tell historically, was developed by nurses during World War I who ran out of pain medication and were desperate to relieve the pain of these wounded soldiers. And someone began to work with the coffee enema and began to discover it was very effective at pain relief. Nowadays, a coffee enema, and there has been more and more research done on coffee enemas, so in spite of the chuckling, the coffee enema is a very effective and very powerful therapeutic tool for detoxification of the liver primarily. I mean, it does not penetrate deep into the bowels the way a colonic would, but it does. The coffee, by virtue of being injected into the lower part of the body, causes the liver to expel toxins. Recent research done over the last 5 years or so is even indicating that when a person is doing a coffee enema, the body produces a very powerful antioxidant under the influence of the coffee enema. So the coffee enema is not only going into the lower part of the body and cleansing that area, it's not only killing pathogens and bacteria and mold and yeast on contact in the lower part of the body, but then it is affecting a release and a clearing of the liver, and it is stimulating the body to produce a powerful antioxidant. Now, today, coffee enemas are an absolutely accepted form of therapy. If somebody goes to a doctor who is using an alternative approach to treating cancer, they will find themselves doing 2 coffee enemas a day for the next couple of years. And they're very powerful. And I have had clients who have had cancer, and I have had clients tell me late in their lives, I've literally had clients tell me that the coffee enema gave me 6 months of extra life. I've actually had people report to me that information of just at the end of their lives, they said how profound and how life-giving those coffee enemas actually were. So the coffee enema is a very powerful therapeutic tool. I think it should be used prophylactically. In other words, you don't have to wait to get a terrible disease to be using coffee enemas. You can do them periodically as a preventative liver cleanse, as a detox, as a blood cleanser, in order to create and elevate the levels of antioxidant production in the body. They're very useful and effective and a very powerful tool for health and well-being.
And, of course, you do want to use organic coffee if you're taking it in any orifice in your body. But,
No milk and sugar.
No milk and sugar. There you go, Matt, no milk and sugar. I was part of a alternative cancer summit this summer when I was in Australia, and coffee enemas are a very traditional integral part of a protocol for people who are healing cancer. In fact, when my own dad was diagnosed many years ago, we went to a wonderful practitioner in New York City, and he works with the coffee enemas as part of his protocol because it does such a profound job in clearing, releasing toxins stored in the liver. And that's, you know, that's really a critical thing. I just want to say, as you know, Angelo, I'm working with personalized genomic testing in my practice, and I've been doing this for the last 2 years. And one of the, so we're looking at inherited genes that you've, bad copies,
yes.
They're got from one parent or two parents, and that
yeah.
are impairing the instructions for the body to carry on certain key functions. And one of the areas that I look at is the phase one, phase two liver detox area. So that's
yeah.
the liver's ability to detoxify. And I am shocked, actually, the more I do this, the more I'm shocked to learn that just about every single person I've tested has impaired genes in their liver detoxification panel. So it could mean that they are impaired in their ability to clear and neutralize hormones out of the body. That's one area of genes we look at, which means if you are, you know, not able to properly neutralize the estrogens, for instance, then this impaired pathway, this impaired gene, means that you can actually be making estrogens that you get from your environment, from your food, or from hormones you may be taking, like the pill or bioidentical hormones, and turning it into a more potentially potent form of estrogen that gets reabsorbed. So now we are at risk of this toxic estrogen floating around. The other thing I'm seeing is that people have impaired glutathione genes. So glutathione, for those that don't know glutathione, it's the number one molecule made by every single cell that supports liver detoxification, and it's the number one anti-inflammatory and antioxidant. It's a big hitter. It's a triple hitter for our body. And I have been discovering, and based on this gene profile, up to 60% of Caucasians have deleted glutathione genes. So those genes don't even show up, which really puts us at risk. So all of that, reason for sharing all that is to just emphasize how important it is to do support of the liver and to, you know, once or twice a year do the kinds of liver detox that would really help assist the liver. And in some cases, people have to support the liver all the time because they just genetically are compromised and challenged in being able to clear all the toxins that they're exposed to in our toxic world.
Absolutely. Support the liver all the time. It's working all the time, even while we sleep. So support the liver all the time. Support the body all the time by doing the right things, and the body will be very good to you, actually.
So we're talking about detoxifying the liver. What are some of the supplements or herbs, or do you have a formula that you work with in your dispensary that you recommend to your patients or people can try as far as a formula for detoxification?
I do. I mean, I love those green smoothies. I love, every morning I have to have my green smoothies full of all those organic greens. In the clinic, there are so many wonderful detoxifying herbs. I have a formula on my website called Detox Tea, in which I put some of the classic Western blood purifying herbs in there, like burdock and taraxacum. There are so many wonderful liver herbs. I mean, milk thistle. Everybody knows about milk thistle seed. Milk thistle seed is such a profound medicinal herb. I mean, it will actually counteract fatal poisonings of certain types. I mean, it neutralizes toxicity and poisons in the liver that effectively. It causes the liver to regenerate new cells. There's so many of them that we use, and I do. I have a detoxification formula, and that's a good general cleanser, and it'll cleanse the liver, and it will cleanse the lymphatic system. And it will, if you persist with it, it will affect a change in the blood quality, and a significant change in the blood quality. So I have all kinds of clients that will just say, send me a bottle of the detox EFT, and I'm going to work with that for the next couple of weeks. And they will vary their diet a bit. They'll eliminate the junky stuff and just keep in the good stuff and drink the tea between meals. And they're doing very effective work of cleansing the body and preserving their health. So there are so many wonderful herbs out there, and they're very effective, and they're very easy to get. They're on my website. They're on everybody's websites, really.
So what is your website? Can you give it out to everybody?
The website is traditionalbotanicalmedicine.com, or short for TBmedicine.com.
Okay, great. And if do you find any contraindications or anyone who should not be taking your cleansing herbs?
I will go back to the kinds of sensitivities and the caveats we discussed earlier in this conversation. Is, in my experience, the herbs, for people who are sensitive and not experienced the detoxification, just about everybody can just get a bottle of cleansing herbs and begin by doing a cup a day or two cups a day. The problem people will have is if they take too much of the cleansing agent, if they take too much of the detoxification formula, and they start pushing the toxins out of the body too rapidly, then they will begin to experience symptoms of detoxification. Just so people know, we taste the substances as they go into the body, and we taste them to a certain degree as they come out of the body. So what I just recommend to people who are not experienced in the matter is go very, very slow. Just begin very slowly. And if you get to the point where you maybe feel like there's a little bit of pressure in the head, well, that's probably detoxification happening in certain glands in the body. Just increase your fluid intake. Lower the dose of the substance that you're using to cleanse the body. Lower it back to a point where you feel comfortable, and then just continue with it. So the biggest mistake people make is they go too fast, and then they feel terrible, and they think they've done something wrong, where all they've done is push the toxins out suddenly. And then I would also add to that, if a person is very toxic, I mean, if they're, you know, if they've been over at McDonald's for the last 6 months and now they want to get clean, then they have to go very slowly, because if they've been on a junk food diet, there's a lot of junk in there that wants to come out, and it's best just to proceed slowly.
Well, I think that's always good advice, and I certainly encourage anyone who is dealing with any kind of health condition to, you know, whether it's allergies or headaches or more chronic illnesses, to look into doing some form of cleansing. It could be very simple. It's like you were saying, Angelo, just eliminate the junk food and put in a green drink.
Yeah.
They can juice
helpful.
Themselves or, you know, go pick it up at a health food store, at Whole Foods, whatever. And just giving your body a rest that way, it really makes a big difference. And it can be done very gentle and, you know, so it's fun and enjoyable.
Exactly.
You know, and what's good to know is that there's all sorts of wonderful options. If people want to know more about the liver gallbladder flush that I talked about, just do a search. There's lots of information on liver gallbladder
sources. Yeah.
Or if you want to learn more about coffee enemas, do a search on coffee enemas. That has, there's so much written about that. And, you know, that used to be in the Merck manual, the little handbook of drugs at one time, was actually an accepted practice for medical doctors to use coffee enema. It's been around a long time as a strategy. Or there are homeopathic formulas that can do gentle detoxification. Or go up and, you know, check out Angelo's website, tbmedicine.com, and get his teas and especially, you know, lovingly prepared herbal tinctures that are able to support the body in cleansing and healing as well. So the thing is to go do it, because we just can't escape a toxic world, and we need to do a kind, gentle thing to our physical bodies every now and then, like giving it a break and taking a bit of a cleanse.
I like it. I like it.
So anything else you want to share about this subject?
Well, I thought your summary there was wonderful. I mean, there is, this is the way to begin to preserve health. I mean, there are many steps to rejuvenating the body. The first step is detoxification, cleanse the blood. And that's really what we've been talking about today. There are further steps that people can educate themselves about, in ways to magnify health and well-being. But, if a person has a significant level of toxicity in their blood, they are never going to feel really good. And sometimes people don't find out how good they can feel until they start doing a little bit of detoxing. And they're never going to be truly healthy. And the clock is ticking on the people with toxic blood. So just by simple, wholesome, enjoyable things every day, people can add healthy years to their lives.
It's a good strategy just to support our health and taking responsibility, looking after our bodies. Because we certainly can't escape a toxic world, but we can certainly do things to support our bodies and coping with it all.
Exactly. You know, the toxic world is here. This is an intelligent strategy in the face of it.
Right. Well, Angelo, it's been a pleasure. I just want to give our listeners your website again, which is tbmedicine.com. And there's lots of great information up on your website and lots of wonderful educational articles. And if people want to learn more about your work or your services or your consultations, they can certainly go up there and take advantage of what you're offering, because you work with people everywhere, right?
Exactly. Come on over to the website. There's plenty there. The book is there. We're there. Come on by, visit, and if we can help you out, just let us know.
Well, it's a pleasure as always, Angelo. Thank you for sharing this time with
all
of
us. Thank you, Dr. Selman. You take care.
Okay, will do.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you all for listening. As always, it's a pleasure. I do think you should check out the one type of cleanse that works for you, but just go do something different in the world of looking after your body. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.